Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio joining us this afternoon. And as I begin the program, Tom, you'll be interested in knowing, and we're going to have to make some arrangements. People are saying, when can we get him live on the air? So we will be making some arrangements on that. I just want to tease that for our audience. But Tom Arms joining us from London, England, where it's some 5 hours ahead of us and time frame, and nearly 11 o'clock as this program, or actually after 11 o'clock as this program airs live here on the talk station. Tom, good afternoon to you. Actually, good evening to you.
Good afternoon, evening to you, Lockwood.
And as we begin the program, I've got to go off with the first question. What's the weather like in London?
Well, at this very moment, it's a bit overcast and on the cooler side.
Mm-hmm.
Just 6 days ago, we recorded the highest temperature ever in British history, in British weather history.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it's been a bit wet, and it's dropped from that peak of 101 to all the way down to the low 60s.
Wow.
But it sort of goes up and down, you know. One day you're wearing a sweater, the next day you're wearing almost nothing.
Well, the almost nothing kind of scares me. But let's go to this issue related to the weather. First question, what about drought? Because several years back you were experiencing a severe drought in England, in the United Kingdom.
Well, we haven't had it. I mean, the fluctuations, when the temperature plummets, the rain comes down.
Uh-huh.
And so actually at this very moment, they're having flooding in northern England.
Oh, okay.
They've had a bridge washed out recently, a medieval bridge.
Ooh, now we're talking real antiquity there. The other aspect of this, and I've just got to make note of this, I'm curious if there's any coverage. Apparently, the rich and famous are flocking to, this coming from the, I got to give it credit, the New York Post, but I think it's pretty appropriate. The world's rich and famous have flocked to a posh Italian resort to talk about saving Mother Earth. But then it goes on to note that they're all flying in on their own private jets, about 114 jets, having a sort of an impact, a negative impact on the weather. I'm just curious, is the hubris.
Have they never heard of bicycles?
Well, that's a good question. And I know that you bicycle around there in London. I may be making it to this posh resort, requires a little more than a bicycle.
They can have posh bicycles.
I'm
told that Porsche does one that cost $5,000 for the bicycle.
Wow.
And the only difference between it and a normal bicycle is that it has a little metal marker on the front between the handlebars which says Porsche.
Oh, I can appreciate that. All right, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, let's talk about some of the events here in the States before we get into issues there in the European community. And the question goes to the debate and discussion and all the ramifications and, criticisms associated with Baltimore and the president and Congressman Elijah Cummings. What's the coverage there in the UK?
Well, it's almost a universal agreement on the Elijah Cummings is that it's another sign of Trump's racism.
Wow,
the way it's being reported.
Okay, that is interesting.
And they just don't accept. They don't accept his disavowal of racism. And they say, you know, he can say it as much as he likes, but actions speak louder than words. One newspaper published a list of, I think, 50 different examples.
Oh my goodness.
Of Trump racism.
You know, it fascinates me because I want to have to see that list at some point. Please email that to me because I'm fascinated by this. The accusations, and of course, this is related to a city that is unfortunately a hotbed of violence and decrepit and failing buildings and businesses, and I don't know how this is continuing to be developed as a racial issue. It's a city, and unfortunately, it's
Bailey. No, it was an attack on a person.
Well, it's an attack on
a lot was made of the Baltimore Sun editorial. You know, it takes a rat to know a rat sort of thing.
Well, it is getting some coverage here in the States as well. Looking at that, and I'm curious about...
H.L. Mencken would have been proud.
Oh, well, sure. The issue, though, here is what's happening with the city and why is it not? And it's been noted for its failing infrastructure for quite some time. Let's move to another item and related to kind of the events here in the States. And I'm wondering, last night was the first night of the debates. I call it a fashion show, frankly, because you have so many candidates and, quite frankly, you have little time for debates. But I'm curious... Was that covered live there? And of course, it was early morning there in the United Kingdom and the European Community. But I'm wondering, is there any fascination or interest in the political scene here?
We can pick up on cable. We pick up CNN, CNBC, and stations like that. So yes, there was coverage. The general consensus was that the two winners were Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
Uh-huh.
That they presented, they did the best presentation, but that possibly the best overall winner was the man who hasn't appeared yet, which is Biden.
Uh-huh.
You know, they think that Bernie and Elizabeth did a good job, but that, in the second round, we're going to have more moderates. And that in the end, what is most important for the Democratic grassroots is to find someone who can defeat Trump. And they don't think that someone on the left of the party at this stage can defeat Trump. It will take someone in the middle ground, and the most prominent person remains Biden.
Interesting observation on the part of the European community. I think that's important. What we're hearing is what is the vision there. The question, of course, goes to the topic, and this became a hot issue last evening. As a matter of fact, it led off the debate, and that has to do with national health care. And you and I have gone round and round on that one as well. It strikes me that something that the European community would be saying is, based on your conversations, by the way, let me just say I'm putting words in your mouth, but this is something
that won't be the first time.
Won't be the first time, and unfortunately, you always ruin my efforts to improve your imagery, but be that as it is, it strikes me that this would be something that would resonate among the European faithful there. Any comments related to the debates on issue of healthcare in the States?
Oh yes, the Europeans focus heavily on the health issue because they all have a sort of national health service in one form or another. And they see it as a mark of civilization,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, everyone's health is protected. And that everyone has a chance at a healthy life because, I mean, you know, that should be a number one priority. Ooh. To keep people alive and healthy.
Well, okay, I see that as an individual's purpose, but okay, I'm just curious in your observations about that. Again, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. Tom, another item, I'm just curious, the shooting in California, Gilroy, California, the Garlic Festival. Did that have any coverage there in the European community?
Yes, it did. But I got the impression that just reading the papers and, you know, it didn't get much coverage in the editorials or opinion columns. And just reading the news stories, that it was a sort of collective shrug. You know, oh, the Americans are at it again. You know, nothing that anyone could say or write
okay.
that will convince them that they shouldn't go around shooting each other. So why not let them get on with it?
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't. That is a little dark humor there, ladies and gentlemen. I see this as really a situation that is being heightened by, of course, a series of previous experiences. You know, one quick question for you in relationship to shootings and acts of terrorism. What about that in the European community? Is there a continuing interest and concern about terrorism by there? We've been very fortunate not seen any stories of significance in the world politic and the world global community. But what about that in the United Kingdom, for example?
We are still at a critical level. There hasn't been a great number of instances of terrorism lately.
Good.
But the security services still have us at a critical level. And the most interesting thing on that front is they have raised the level of threat from right-wing terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not just from the Islamic threat, but sort of going up the spectrum or up the ladder is the threat of right-wing terrorism.
Okay. And by the way, related to concerns associated with immigration?
Related to populism, basically.
Okay.
You know, that a lot of people feel emboldened by some political leaders to come out of the woodwork.
Ah, we're going to get into that in a few minutes here with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, before we go to the break, let's talk, since we mentioned the issue of terrorism, let's talk about the resignation of Dan Coats in the United States.
Yeah, that's been reported here as yet another breach between President Trump and one of his foreign policy advisors.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that Dan Coats doesn't agree with Trump on most foreign policy issues, and that his inability to have any influence over Trump has led to his resignation.
Well, is there and of course he now has a potential replacement coming in pretty quickly. Question for you on the issue of security. The U.S., the United Kingdom, European community, are they still working as best you understand? Is any news coverage in that in relationship to security?
They're not working very well on Iran.
Ah.
Other areas of the world, yes. But Iran is so important and so explosive that, you know, most of the foreign policy focus is on Iran, where the Europeans blame the United States for getting us into the current problems by withdrawing from the Iran nuclear accord.
Okay, we're going to get back to that here in just a moment. I want to take a quick break. We're joined by Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded due to the five-hour lead time that he has on us. He's seen all the news we're going to see this evening, 5 hours ahead of us. I'm confident he has gotten all the details, but he will probably share some of them as we tease them as we get into the conversation. Tom, I want to go to another issue in, related to the U.S., and then we're going to move to events around the world. It's determined that today there will be a rate cut in the federal interest rates, in the interest rates by the Fed. And I'm wondering the economic circumstances, and we'll get to this into the topic of Brexit in a few minutes as well, but is that being covered?
Yes, it is being covered. I think the people here are more focused on the fall in the value of the pound, which of course might lead to another change in interest rates here. But in the last week, it has fallen, I think, 3% over the threats of a no-deal Brexit.
And what about the issue of China and tariffs?
Well, you know, China and tariffs is always there. There's also, we'll probably come on to it later, the threat of tariffs on French wine. And mm-hmm. Europeans don't like the idea of tariffs being used as a political weapon.
Okay.
Or even, you know, they generally tend to be, I know they have tariffs to protect the European Union. Britain in particular is very much a free trade country.
Okay.
And, you know, Tariffs damage their economy.
All right, we're going to talk about that in a few moments. Let's go to one other item, and it's kind of got an international flavor to that, and that, of course, is the rapper ASAP Rocky, and he's in Sweden, and he's in jail. How much coverage is that getting?
He's actually on trial today.
Ah.
And he's pleaded not guilty.
Right.
Now, that is really, you know, people can't understand it. I mean, if a celebrity committed a crime, or an alleged crime, I should hasten to add, an alleged crime in the United States, he would be arrested and put on trial in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And why should he be released simply? Why should the American president think that he should be released simply because he asked him to be released if he's committed an alleged violent crime? Why, you know, when you visit a country, you are subject to that country's laws. Try to explain to me why American law should be applied in Sweden.
The fear is that he's a political pawn, and that's one of the concerns that I gather the president has associated with it. And
that's a lot of rubbish.
Well, at least the president is stepping out for one of his citizens, and I just think it's...
He has to abide by law.
Well,
which, of course, President Trump never does.
Well, wait, no, that's not true. That's not true at all.
No, he bends the law to his own political beliefs. We know that.
And
I know you're going to get a lot of people on Facebook attacking me for saying so, but you can look at his record.
No. We can go to other presidents and other administrations that have done much the same thing as you're claiming the president of the United States is doing now. But no, I think he's just simply expressing support for one of his citizens. And I think that's credit. I compliment him for that. Well, let's move on to other items.
No, he if I'm sorry, if he had been found guilty and there was some doubt about it.
Well, he hasn't been.
Then that's the time to ask for his release or maybe his transfer to an American prison, but not before he's found guilty.
Well,
let him be tried. Sweden is a democratic country with an independent court system. It's an insult to Sweden to suggest that he wouldn't get a fair trial.
Well,
and by asking for his release, he's suggesting he wouldn't get a fair trial.
Well, I don't know that's a suggestion. I think he's just standing up for one of his constituents.
It's an obvious suggestion.
No.
And the fact is, the person, it also comes under the racism angle, because the person who attacked him allegedly, or whom he attacked allegedly, was an Afghan refugee.
Okay. Well, by the way, ASAP Rocky happens to be African American. But here's the other question for you. Is this getting a lot of coverage in the European press? Is it really?
Yes. It's another example of basically stupid Trump.
Okay. So the folks have got very upset with the president on that. I find that.
Why should American law apply in Europe?
But here's the kicker.
That's how it's being reported here.
What fascinates me is everybody is taking this so seriously. All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAheadRadio.
ASAP Rocky's certainly taking it seriously.
Absolutely. He's in jail. Let's talk about other items here and bring up, since we touched on it a few moments ago, and we'll get this in the conversation related to Brexit and the political environment there in the United Kingdom. But let's talk about the French attacks on American digital companies and how is that being considered in the European community?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, we had the French agriculture minister called President Trump moronic.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's calling him names.
It's not helping American-French relations.
What fascinates me, Tom, is how you get perturbed over the president when he makes comments about individuals and calls them names. Yet when someone in the European community does the same thing, they're praised for it. Now, I'm having a difficulty with that, Tom.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that one.
I mean, thank you.
I think the level of political debate has sunk right below the gutter. But I will also say that Donald Trump is the man who's leading it there.
Oh, wait a second. I have to disagree with you, Michael.
No, he started it.
No,
he definitely has started it. I don't think you can dispute that.
But Tom, here's the kicker. Who cares who started it? It's a matter of if everyone has, shall we say, a more stable.
Well, if the man who started it could bring himself to rise above it. Well, make a big difference.
All right, let's talk about the issue of the French tax on American digital companies. Is it being supported by the European community?
Well, the French have been trying to get a European-wide agreement on this for ages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a serious problem. And I think
we've talked
some sort of international agreement on taxes. I mean, if you think about it, if you had, say, a French company that was selling goods and services in America and making, $250 billion a year out of it, but all of the profits were being, American people were buying things, they were spending money earned in America on this French product, but all the profits were going back to France, and the French government was the only one who benefited in tax revenues from these sales to Americans. I think that the American government might have something to say about it, too. They want to get a slice of the action.
Tom.
And I think that's only fair.
Tom.
In the global world we have, you need to come up with some sort of system. Here in the European Union, for instance, and there's a dispute within the EU, Google, for instance, has their European headquarters based in Ireland.
Right.
And that's because Ireland's corporation tax is only 12.5%.
Right.
Whereas France's corporation tax is 33%. Britain's now, I think, is going to be next year 17%. And so all those European profits go back to Ireland. They pay tax in Ireland, but the French don't get any benefit. The British don't get any benefit. The Germans don't. And then they're repatriated from Ireland back to the U.S.
Okay, Tom, very quickly, I've got to go to a break, but I want to continue this conversation for a few more moments. In light of the fact that you have major shipping companies that are profiting, and many of them are home-ported in foreign countries, those shipping companies aren't being challenged for their success and their profits. My comment related to Amazon is that it is, for all intents and purposes, a facilitator of facilities. They are selling items that are manufactured in France and the UK and other parts of the world. All that Amazon is doing is facilitating the sale of it. I'm stunned by your comment that the complaint about Ireland, because we've got the same complaint here in the States with companies that are offshored in the Grand Caymans, for example. We're going to get back to that in a moment, because I have this important story here on Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And just a few moments ago, Tom and I were, discussing, I don't know, quite debating, but coming close to the debate over taxation of businesses that are actually global in nature. You mentioned Google, Amazon. They do not see themselves any longer as having a distinct nationality, and they're home-ported anywhere in the country and in the world. This issue of taxation of Amazon's profits, do you see other countries glomming onto this from part of France's leadership?
I do. I think there are a lot of countries who are concerned about it. Now, I think that we live in a global society. I know that there are a lot of people who would like to oppose globalism, but it's with us, and I don't think it's going to go away. As I said earlier, I think what's required is an agreement, either through the World Trade Organization or through the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, to work out a universal tax system which is fair to all countries. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know the details.
No.
I'm not a tax expert. You know, I was talking to someone from the Bank of England the weekend, and he was more or less saying it's going to come sometime.
I think that this leads us beautifully into the discussion on Brexit. But before we get to Brexit, because that's one of the debates on Brexit, and that is the role of the, particularly the United Kingdom's economy in relationship to the rest of Europe. What's happening on the political side of this debate? We've got Boris Johnson, the new prime minister. Has he formed his new cabinet?
He's formed his new cabinet. He spent this, his first week. I mean, one of the consequences of Brexit is the fear that it will lead to the breakup of the United Kingdom, that Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland will want to go their separate ways because they feel differently from England. Mm-hmm. And so he spent his first week touring the country. He's gone to Scotland. He's gone to Wales. He's gone to Northern Ireland. And everywhere he's gone, he's been met by booing and jeering and everything else and saying, we do not want a new deal. Or no deal, sorry. In Wales, they told him that there was actually the threat of civil unrest if he went for a no-deal Brexit. In Scotland, they told him, if you go for a no-deal, we're pulling out of the United Kingdom. In Northern Ireland, the threat is a possibility that this could lead to the breakaway of Northern Ireland and the unification of North and South Ireland. So it's having, you know, just in the first week, it's having immense political consequences.
What about the activities on the part of the European Union? Are they willing to continue conversations based on your analysis
of
news?
Well, the Europeans have said, basically, come up with our proposal. And you, Boris Johnson, in fact, you successive British governments, have really not come up with any alternative package. And he still hasn't. Boris Johnson says, you know, oh, it'd be no problem, you know, blah, 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 blah. But he hasn't come forward with any alternative suggestions. The sticking point is the border between Northern and Southern Ireland.
All right. Now, the question goes to his support within Parliament. Is there a possibility we may see a call for an election?
I think that's a distinct possibility. I think what could happen, I mean, I don't know the mechanics. Nobody has come up with a way of stopping no deal. On the 31st of October, as it stands at the moment, if there is no legislation to counter it, Britain will by default withdraw from the EU. That is how legislation stands at the moment. And so they have to devise some sort of counter legislation, those who are opposed to a no deal exit. And they're working on how they might do that. People are defecting from conservative ranks over the no deal every day now. He has a one seat majority. That's all. One seat majority.
If he loses that majority, what happens?
If he loses that majority, he could face a no confidence. My theory, for what it's worth, is that they will come up with a way of blocking a no deal exit. So Johnson will call an election on no deal versus whatever.
Yeah, the problem is whatever. No one knows whatever
yeah, whatever. I don't think there would be an alternative. It would just be, you know, I want a mandate to go for a no deal exit. And that could be end of November.
Problem with that is you've got an October 31 deadline.
What you do is you would extend the October 31 deadline. You could have it before the October 31 deadline, but they're going to try. Okay. Obviously, he says he's going to be trying to negotiate a deal right up to the 31st of October. But at the same time, they're having twice daily emergency cabinet meetings to plan for a no deal. If they're spending all that time planning for a no deal, how are they going to be finding time to try and negotiate a deal? You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That has to do with the impact on the European community and the economy there. I've mentioned earlier the reduction in interest rates here in the U.S., the prime rate dropping down a half point. Is there growing concern about the economic future for the European community as a result of the world politic, but also particularly Brexit?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
But, you know, as I've said before, the effect on the British economy will be, you know, 10 times greater
right.
than the effect on the European economy, simply because it's only 10% the size of the European economy. They can swallow it much more easily than the British can. They are concerned. They are obviously concerned.
Let's talk about another item, Iran here, and I'm wondering, does that have an impact on the European community as well? The UK, of course, is now bringing ships into the Straits of Hormuz there in the Persian Gulf. What's the feeling with Iran?
Yeah, the Brits have sent another ship, so they now have two ships. Again, what I said earlier, they're really very angry with President Trump. They feel as if he's landed them in it by withdrawing from the Iran nuclear accord. They also feel that basically he's step by step indulging in a game of chicken
okay.
with Tehran.
All right.
And they're being dragged along. They're having a meeting in Vienna as we speak with the Iranians. The Iranians are hoping to drive a wedge between the other signatories of the Iran nuclear accord, who also include Russia and China, to basically ignore the American sanctions.
Is there much chance of that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, right. People are very angry with the Trump administration. Right. Like threatening over French
right.
Wine is not helping matters.
Right. Okay. I just was curious. I want to move on to the situation in North Korea very quickly. What's the feeling there? And is the UK covering and the European community covering the efforts on the part of the North Koreans to fire off more rockets?
Yeah, I'm going to dip into my own personal knowledge here.
Okay, very quickly.
Because I was a diplomatic correspondent and wrote the Encyclopedia of the Cold War, and I was really covering the Cold War in the 70s and 80s quite a bit. That was my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that what is being developed by Kim Jong-un is now tactical and mid-range nuclear weapons that can reach South Korea and Japan.
Right.
And this is very similar to what the Russians were doing in the 80s.
Okay.
When they were developing what they called their SS-20s. And the purpose of that was to try and split Europe, to act as a wedge between Europe and America, to make America think, is Europe worth defending?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Kim Jong-un is doing. He's not working on trying to hit Guam anymore or Hawaii. He thinks he's got this great relationship with President Trump, but he's posing the question, is it worth, President Trump, is it worth protecting Japan
and
South Korea?
Interesting observation on your part. All right, we're going to take a quick break on that. We're going to come back. We're going to chat briefly about Hong Kong. And then we have always our last item of the day, man bites snake. Looking forward to hearing, somewhat looking forward to hearing how this is going to turn out. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. We have two items we want to touch on here, Tom, and we chatted a few moments ago about North Korea and the impacts that you expressed, the observations related to North Korea's continuing growth of mid-range missiles. Let's talk about Hong Kong, a similar region of the world, and I saw in a story today that Hong Kong is putting troops on the border of Hong Kong. What in the world is going on?
Yeah. Well, you know, the protesters have sort of moved forward to the next political step.
Mm-hmm.
It started off with opposition to an extradition treaty.
Right.
And now the protesters are saying, we want independence. Hong Kong should be independent, an independent country, separate from China.
But the problem is that's not part of the plan.
No, that is not part of the plan.
So,
and people here are saying this could lead to another Tiananmen Square.
Okay, here's a question for you. In light of the fact that the United Kingdom relinquished its rule and part of the British Empire to China when it handed over really the keys to Hong Kong to the Chinese government, is there a sense that maybe there someone from the European community, particularly the United Kingdom, could step in and broker some sort of a peace deal?
Well, the British Foreign Secretary, previous British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, just a couple of weeks ago, was offering more or less that, and he was criticizing the Chinese for the way they were handling it. In the agreement, which led to British withdrawal, they retained the right to offer their services and to comment on human rights issues.
Mm-hmm.
But further than that, more than that, they had no power to speak of.
And
certainly they don't have any military power.
Here's to
back it up.
All right, here's a question for you. In light of the fact that you've been critical and bringing this full circle to the president, you, but also the European community and particularly yourself, the issue of having faith and trust in the Chinese government, and of course we can get to Iran as well, does this not in some way raise the specter that China is not all that trustworthy, shall we say?
Trustworthy?
Yes.
No, you never get me to defend China's human rights policy.
Okay.
And politically, I think that
it
would end in disaster for them.
All right,
but in the long term. But no, the Chinese have always said that they will only, that they won't accept any back talk from the Hong Kong, and eventually in 2047. That the two systems will be merged in one.
I know.
So it's fairly consistent with what they've said.
All right. It is troubling. At least
I don't think the Chinese are pretty open about being tyrannical.
Okay. Yes. And of course the issue here is what impact that's going to have on the global economy as well, because Hong Kong is seen as a center of trade. We'll get to that.
It's seen as a door into China.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to a final item of the day. Man bites snake, please.
Yes. In Uttar Pradesh in India, a young man called Raju Kumar was quietly sitting in his sitting room one day, enjoying a nice, quiet drink, when in slithered a rat snake and bit him. Hmm. Now, most people would just run away quickly to the hospital. He picked up the rat snake and ate it.
Now, of course, I don't know. Is a rat snake venomous? I don't know that it is.
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Oh. It is. He had to go to hospital.
Oh.
He's all right. But...
Well,
how many people, after being bitten by a snake, would eat it?
I have.
It's sort of a new variation on man bites dog.
Absolutely, and this got national coverage, of course.
This got international coverage.
International coverage. I mean, one would wonder why. I mean,
Apparently, he was so angry at this snake disturbing his revelries or quiet drink that he just went wild.
Oh, amazing. All right. Man bites snake there in India. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us. We'll have to find out, be interested in knowing how the snake tasted if he ate it. Question for you as we wrap it up. The temperature, is it going to stay warm? Are you expecting any cooling periods here in the near term?
It'll probably stay in the low 70s.
Oh, wonderful. And by the way, you're using Fahrenheit, not Celsius.
Well, that's for your benefit.
Thank you very much. I needed that. All right. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this evening. Tom, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.